Radiation levels rise in Japan.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The Japanese government has ordered 140,000 people to stay indoors because of worsening conditions at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant. Higher than normal radiation levels are being reported in Tokyo, though officials say the 39 million people who live there are safe for the moment. The BBC's Chris Hogg joins us now from Tokyo with the latest. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first, bring us up to date on the evacuation efforts that are underway right now and whether there is still time to prevent a meltdown.
Well, the special exclusion zone around the nuclear plant has been extended on Tuesday. Up until this morning, it was just in an area about 20 kilometers around the plant. It's now larger. It's now 30 kilometers around the plant. People who live between 20 and 30 kilometers being warned to stay inside today. And that was because there was an explosion and a fire at the plant. That explosion was more serious than the first two that we've seen since Friday's quake, but obviously it's just too early to say whether or not they have completely sorted this problem out.
Chris, what are the potential economic effects of what's going on at this nuclear plant?
The frightening thing for the Japanese government is they can't tell. It's just too uncertain at the moment. And certainly when you look at the estimates that people come up with, some of them are in the tens of billions of dollars. Some of them are in the hundreds of billions of dollars. The Bank of Japan today injected $90 billion into the markets to try to improve liquidity. That followed $180 billion yesterday. So they are doing whatever they can to try to allay the economic problems in the short term. But as to the long-term costs of rebuilding, of the problems with electricity supply as a result of the problems in the nuclear industry, well, no one yet can put an accurate figure on it, but it could be extremely expensive.
The BBC's Chris Hogg in Tokyo. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
And let's check the market reaction to all this. Stocks are down across the globe following a 10.5% drop in Tokyo. European shares right now down between 2 and 5%. The Federal Reserve will meet today in Washington for more discussions on whether to alter the Fed's $600 billion bond buying program. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 51 points to close at 11,993. Well, in the...
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com.
Well, in the horrifying videos and images of the tsunami that hit Japan, there's one thing you can't see, but damage to it would affect us right here in the U.S. I'm talking about the long phone and internet cables that run under the Pacific Ocean. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports on how telecom connections are faring.
You may think of your cell phone or your internet service as wireless, but it's really not, says Eric Bender. He runs Wilcon, a hub in downtown Los Angeles, where millions of phone calls, videos, and other digital data packets make one last stop before they get to customers. If they come from overseas, he says, there's lots of wire involved.
This is a map of the submarine cables of the world.
2011 edition.
Yes, this is the new one. I just got this in
thousands
January.
Of miles of whisper-thin fiber optics are wrapped tight in plastic and metal and laid under the ocean floor. They can be as slim as your finger or a few inches thick. They run between beaches in Japan and California.
And they come in from under the sea, under the sand, and then on shore there's a building you wouldn't even know, just a block building, and then they're run throughout the U.S.
In Asia, Japan is the telecom point of entry. Six cables connect it to the U.S. At least two of those were damaged last week, and more lines within Asia got hurt. Each new underseas connection costs up to $1 billion, so the telecom giants pool their money to buy them. And, says Eric Bender, pitch in when things go wrong.
In times like this, all the carriers internationally tend to work very closely together because it may not be them this time, but the next one could affect them.
Companies like his help reroute data when disaster strikes. Tim Strong at Telegeography Research says Google, Verizon, and other big companies are ready when cables snap.
These kind of breaks happen all the time.
Ship anchors, fishing nets, or just the ocean floor shifting cause undersea cables to break up to 100 times a year. Companies can detect the breaks virtually when their data bounce back, but they can't fix things from afar.
For that, you need old-fashioned ships to go out with people to splice the cable again.
And he says crews are headed to do that off the coast of Japan right now. Think of them next time you're reading online news about the quake. In Los Angeles, I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
Well, the price of oil is falling as a result of the events in Japan, but gas prices are hitting new highs. Hawaii has become the first state with a gas price average of more than $4 a gallon. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports on the politics of pump prices.
The Obama administration has been pushing all kinds of climate change legislation. It was already unclear which way some Democrats in the Senate would go. And now there's concern that high gas prices will push them to vote against the administration's proposals. Daniel Weiss directs climate strategy at the Center for American Progress. And he says it doesn't matter that politicians don't cause high gas prices.
As gasoline prices rise, so does voters' angst. As voter angst rise, politicians become much more cautious.
That's especially true in an election year. Frank O'Donnell is president of Clean Air Watch, and he says the many Democratic senators who are up for re-election next year are acutely aware of that. And Republicans are taking advantage of their anxiety by blaming Democrats for the high gas prices.
The question is, will that kind of demagoguery get them to try to undermine the EPA's attempts to do something about greenhouse gas emissions?
And other climate issues. I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
And finally, having $1 million might not be as great as you think. According to a new survey, 42% of American millionaires say they don't feel rich. They say they'd need to have at least $7.5 million for that. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Dictators love their British mansions. The neighbors, though, not so excited.
I think that the British are in love with dictators. They like the lavishness and the outrageous lifestyle of dictators. There is something mesmerizing.
What's that saying? Good fences make good neighbors, right? I'm Kai Rizdal, a despot's home away from home. That story and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.